that's not the question. This is the last one, only?
Shamunati Ravanachari. Thank you. Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sekahush, A Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Sham Kunda, Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Sri Sri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Sri Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Sri Sri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Govardhana Dari Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Govardhana Dari Ki Jai, Shri Shri New Govardhana Dham Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritam naram chaivam narotamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayat nastaprayeshu abhadeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamashloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 8th chapter, 17th text, is that right? 17th
yeah.
Text?
Yes.
Sanakumar vata kamadevad. Sanatkumar Vata
Kamadeva
Kaya Shirshamam Patideva Halanat
Kaya Shirshamam Patideva
Ivarshivarya Purusharnacharantarat
Ivarshivarya Purusharnacharantarat
Kurmo Harir Mam Apirnanyara Sheshat
Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayara Sheshat
Sanatkumaro Vata Kamadeva Daya Shirshamam Patideva Halanat
Daya Shirshamam Patideva Halanat
Varshivarya Purushak Chanantarat
Varshivarya Purushak Chanantarat
Purmo Harir Namam Nirayara Sheshat
Purmo Harir Namam Nirayara Sheshat
Matkumaro Vatu Kamadevad
Matkumaro Vatu
Shir Shamam Pati Deva Halanat Vashiharya Purushat Chanantarat
Vashiharya Purushat Chanantarat
Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayara Sheshat
Kurmo Harir Mam Nirayara Sheshat
Ladies. Brahmachari named Sanat Kumar.
Great Brahmachari named Sanat Kumar.
Abhatu, may he protect.
Tamadevat,
from the hands of Cupid or lusty desire. Ayashirsha, Lord Hayagriva, the incarnation of the Lord,
whose head is like that of a horse.
Mam,
me.
Pati, on the path. Deva Helena, I'm neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to Brahmins and Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord. Devarshi Variha, the best of the saintly sages, Narada. Purusho Archana Antara,
Purusho Archana Antara,
from the offenses in worshipping the deity.
Kurmaha,
Lord Kurma the tortoise. Harihi,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mam,
me.
Me.
Nirayat,
from hell. From hell.
Ashesha,
unlimited. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. May Sanat Kumar protect me from lust desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. And may Lord Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. Responsibly, may Sanat Kumar protect me.
From lusty desires.
As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances
to the Supreme Lord.
May Devarshi Narada
protect me from committing offenses
worshipping the deity.
And may Lord Kurma, the tortoise,
protect me from falling
to the unlimited hellish planet.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lusty desires are very strong in everyone, and they are the greatest impediment to the discharge of devotional service. Therefore, those who are very much influenced by lusty desires are advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumar, the great Brahmachari devotee, Narada Muni, who is the guide for Archana, is the author of Narada Pancharatra, which prescribes the regulator principles for worshipping the deity. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in the temple, should always seek the mercy of Devarshi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses while worshipping the deity. These offenses in deity worship are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. Translation again by Srila Prabhupada. May Sanat Kumar protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. And may Lord Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. There don't seem to be very many purports in this chapter. And from what I saw, Prabhupada didn't lecture very much on this chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Narayan Kavacha Shield. So these prayers for protection are important, but they're not as important as seeking protection from the Supreme Lord.
devotees generally take seek protection from Lord Nrisimhadev. And it said that Raki Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Raki Ke, if Krishna wants to kill you or hurt you, no one can protect you. And if Krishna someone wants to kill you, only Krishna can protect you, or something like that. There were a couple of instances. There was a devotee who was attacked once, a young female devotee, about 15 years old, and she was attacked by some very brutish men, and she prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev to save her, and he saved her. And then there was a young devotee, boy, who was very frail, about 20 years old, who was also attacked, and he yelled Nrisimhadev at the top of his lungs, and he was saved also. It was during the daylight time, and because he shouted so loud, people heard his voice, and they threw open their windows, and these attackers became very frightened and ran off. So Lord Nrisimhadev protects people. Prabhupada was very fond of chanting the mantras in the seventh canto, because the ones that refer to Nrisimhadev's protecting the law, that was in the ninth chapter. And in the 17th verse of that chapter, it's explained that the solutions we seek to the material problems of the material world are often more dangerous than the original problems. One example of that is that automobiles were invented to get people from one place to another faster. So that was thought to be a solution, a convenient way to get from one place to another more quickly. In the San Francisco fire, it was in 1906. Automobiles were fairly recently invented, but they were thought to be very, very gross machines and very noisy, and they were very noisy. And it was thought that people with delicate constitutions shouldn't even ride in them. But because this earthquake precipitated a lot of fires in 1906 in San Francisco, and there were a lot of injuries, people were critically injured. Some of them were rushed to hospitals in cars, motor vehicles, for the first time. And because of this, because they couldn't go by horse and they couldn't go on foot, and it saved a lot of lives because they were rushed to hospitals in a very short time in automobiles. Automobiles became very, very popular, and they became something that everybody used. And I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, which I think there's something like two cars per family, something like that. It's one of the busiest car places in the world. But because there's so many automobiles there, there's a lot of what they call smog in the air, and it's a very noxious kind of fume. Sometimes I used to come into Los Angeles from other cities on an airplane, and I would see this kind of like fog over the city, which was actually smog. And the airplane would descend through this layer of smog into the city, and you couldn't see any of the city through the smog, but once you were down below the smog level, you could see it. So it was very, very, very toxic and very noxious and very bad smelling and very thick. So it became so bad that the city or the state of California required that people have smog devices installed on their vehicles to reduce the amount of noxious fumes. But these became very expensive. And so everyone was complaining that the cost of these smog devices was so high they couldn't afford them, but they had to do them because it was a law. So this is an example of how the solution to the smog problem, the original problem was so-called slowness of getting from one place to another, and that was supposedly remedied by automobiles. But automobiles became very toxic because of their fumes, and the smog devices became very expensive. So the problems became greater than the solutions, which were the smog devices and the automobiles, became worse than the original problems. The original problems were going slow and breathing bad air. So this is a solution. This is an example of how the solutions become worse than the problems. And I think there was a statement in somewhere someone made about boils. Boils on the body, they're kind of like, you know, what boils are. In order to cure boils, sometimes the boil is lance, and it's a very painful process. And sometimes it's said that it's more painful than the actual boil. So sometimes the solutions to problems are greater than the original problems.
That's the nature of Maya. And after all the difficulties that Maya presents, hard work and perspiration and unknowingness and fear, that they're some of the components of Maya, one has to die. So even if one accepts that okay, hard work is there and fear is there and uncertainty is there, well, I'll accept it. But at the end of it all, I have to die anyway. So this is an example of how Maya is not a very good thing to take shelter of. One is advised, according to the Bhagavatam, to take shelter of Krishna, and that this is the only real protection, the only real protector. Prahlad was so advanced that even though there were many of the demigods present when Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared, that was Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and many others, and Lakshmi herself, who was a constant companion of Lord Nrsimhadeva in the form of Lord Vishnu, was there. They all asked Prahlad they kind of pushed him forward to pacify the Lord, because they'd never seen Lord Vishnu in such an angry mood as Lord Nrsimhadeva, and they didn't know what to do. So it's kind of like they were sending a young boy into the lion's cage, because Lord Nrsimhadeva is half lion and half man. But he went in there anyway, and he was successful, and he was saying to the Lord that even though I was born in a very demonic family, which he was, Hiranyakashipu's son, he was a ruler of the earth, and he didn't have any, and he was very young, he didn't have sufficient education, and he didn't know how to compose these beautiful prayers, all the mantras are like poems. Still, he said prayers, and he offered his prayers to the Lord, and he was able to pacify Lord Nrsimhadeva. And Lord Nrsimhadeva is famous for putting his hand or paw on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, so he was calmed down, and everyone else was very happy, because they saw that Lord Nrsimhadeva was pacified by the Nitya Siddha devotee Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was only 5 years old and didn't have a sufficient education or ability to compose beautiful mantras in Sanskrit like the other devotees were able to. So everyone is ultimately protected only by Krishna, and here in New Govardhan we protect even animals, like especially the cows and bulls are protected. It's kind of a sanctuary for animals that don't get to live their duration of life. They're mercilessly slaughtered as soon as they can't give milk or they're too thin to provide meat products for fun and for games and for hunting and for sports and whatever else leather is used for, clothing, then they're very mercilessly slaughtered. So it's a duty of devotees everywhere to protect, on behalf of Krishna, the animals that have no protection. Even there was an example of Parikha Maharaj, when he saw a cow being mercilessly slaughtered, he was very, very angry and threatened to kill the personification of Kali, who was torturing this animal unnecessarily. So all the demigods were very happy when Nrsimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu. It's mentioned in the Shastras that even saintly persons are happy when a snake is killed, and Hiranyakashipu is compared in one of the verses in the Bhagavatam to being a snake. And Prahlad in his prayers was very submissive to Lord Nrsimhadeva. He said that he wasn't afraid of anything, and he actually wasn't. He wasn't afraid of snakes, he wasn't afraid of elephants and tigers and lions. And one thing he said was that he was only afraid of one thing, and that was the material nature, because material nature is very dangerous, and it ends in a very dangerous thing. And so of all the things that Prahlad was not afraid of, he was afraid of one thing, and that was the material nature, because of its very, very vicious nature. Material nature is a very vicious nature. So Prabhupada was saying that Krishna can provide everything, and when he came to the United States, he had only a few, the rupee equivalent of about $40, and near the end, in 1976, he was saying that He came to America with only 40 rupees, but now he had 40 crores worth of rupees and landed in land. And so this, and he was saying, when I came to your country, which was, he was talking about the United States, and this was a class that he gave in, I think it was in Mayapur, 1976 in February. He was saying that Krishna provides everything. So Krishna protects us, Krishna provides for us, Krishna protects us. And really, that's the only protection we can get. We can get temporary protection from others, but only Krishna can protect us from material nature. So if anyone has any comments or questions, now's the time to say it. I'm just going to wait a few minutes because maybe I have to think a little bit. I'll just read the verse again. May Sanat Kumar protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being offended by neglecting to offer respectful obeisance to the Supreme Lord. May Dabarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. And may Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. Yes?
Maharaj, what was the connection between Hayagriva and
getting protection from
offenses to the Lord, the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas, and Switches?
Well, generally,
approach him rather than some other?
Well, as far as I read this chapter, the protection has to be sought from Krishna, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and these representatives. And it says, I think, in the introduction to this chapter that one can seek protection from these demigods or sponsa expansions of Krishna if one is a deva. And of course, in one sense, we're all devas, we're all devatas, devatas, because we're all devotees of Krishna. But it's recommended that we surrender mainly to Krishna and we seek protection from Krishna, as opposed to his representatives, although they can give us protection. But they're agents actually of Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme protector.
Is Hayagriva the form that appeared to protect the Vedas?
Yes.
The demons appear.
Yes.
Did he kill those demons and give the
virus
back to
Brahma?
As far as I know. Yes?
Isn't it that Krishna protects us through our environment and other devotees and all these things? Like, it's not like Krishna's going to come himself every time something's happening.
Well, Krishna protects us through his devotees and through his deities and through Prabhupada and other devotees. But he sometimes comes personally. Sometimes things get very bad, like when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, things had become almost intolerably difficult and bad for all people. Devaki's sons were ruthlessly slaughtered when they were babies, so things were extremely bad, and Kamsa was ruling very cruelly with a very iron fist. So sometimes Krishna comes directly, but it doesn't mean that we can't pray to Krishna directly, or we can pray to his devotees. We can pray to Krishna directly every day. And Krishna protects us all the time, whether it's through his devotees or himself. He's a protector. Pritranaya Sadhanam Vinachaya Chaluskritam. One of his sayings in the Bhagavad Gita is that he comes to establish the devotees and slay the demons. Pritranaya Sadhanam Vinachaya Chaluskritam. And the sun starts on Sambhavami Yoga Yoga. So Krishna does come at regular intervals. And it's said in the Bhagavatam that he comes only in a day of Brahma, so it's not very often that Krishna actually comes. Because a day of Brahma is a very, very long time. Yes?
Thank you for all the class. I learned something. When Srila Prabhupada doesn't say so much in the purport, it means he doesn't put so much emphasis on that. That's, but my question is, Maharaj, the prayers that Kumar Maharaj said,
as far as I was reading, that he just made them up on the spot. He was only at the age of five, but he knew that his father was demonic. And so he started out by saying that I was born in a very demonic family. And he was saying that he couldn't offer prayers like all the other great demigods, but he offered his five-year-old types of prayers anyway. And he was the only one of all in the assembly who was able to pacify the Lord. Yes?
Maharaj,
was just a comment, you were saying how Prabhupada went to America with, you know, 43 years, and as we know, a bag of chip rice. And I was just thinking when you were saying that, making that comment, that we understand that Krishna will provide for us, etc., but it made me think about Prabhupada's incredible faith in Krishna, that such an elderly stage of his life, he went to a foreign country that was considered by traditional Hindus forbidden, because if you cross the ocean, you lost your caste, so to speak. And it was such a horrific, unknown situation. Prabhupada was going into this completely unknown jungle, and he had 40 rupees with him. Can you imagine if we decide that we want to go somewhere or do something, we have to make sure that we have sufficient funds and, you know, in my elderly, or getting the elderly age and thinking, okay, well, I've got this much, and it's going to have to last me for this long. It's actually revealing a total lack of faith, really, that Krishna will provide, because I think I have to provide for myself.
Because
I think I have to provide for myself. In my ignorance, but just it's an extra glorification of Prabhupada, that he had literally, you know, a couple of dollars and look what he did.
I think did everyone hear her comment? I think that someone wrote that because he was so elderly, he was 70 years old when he started his journey across the sea, that in itself showed that he was very surrendered, because people at that age generally are very reluctant to move around. Like you say, he went into an unknown area. So some people say that was evidence of his being a very surrendered and very unique soul. Yes.
Did Krishna do much to entail sacrifice?
Pardon? Did Krishna?
Did Krishna do much
to
entail sacrifice?
Do most to entail
sacrifice?
Well, I don't know if Krishna did. I'm not sure what your question was. Did Krishna do? Would he do the most to end cow sacrifice?
Yes, because I heard that he came to death in cow sacrifice.
Well, in a sense, because Krishna is the protector of all devotees, and we consider cows our devotees, he was obviously trying to protect. One of the reasons he comes, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, is to protect the devotees or to reestablish those who are Krishna conscious. So, but people could argue that in Kali Yuga, the majority of cows are being slaughtered for sports and for clothing and for food. So they would argue that even though Krishna might have been able to protect some cows, that most of the cows, there's thousands, tens of thousands of cows are slaughtered every day, that maybe wasn't successful.
This was formal, direct.
Pardon?
These ancient, huge cow sacrifices, as well as sacrifices.
Well, one of the things that's mentioned in the Chaitamrita is that sacrifices of cows and horses are no longer permissible in the Kali Yuga. So it's possible. I don't know the answer to that.
The Vaishnavas, I've
heard, here they are, very effective, and throughout the world, wherever there's cows on ISKCON properties, the devotees are very protective of them.
That
may be. The principle of Buddhism is ahimsa, is to be nonviolent, and the purpose of Lord Buddha's appearance was to stop animal slaughter. But even in places where where Buddhism rules, like I used to make many trips to Bangkok, Thailand. I made two a year almost. And there was an organization called the Thai Buddhist Vegetarian Society, because most of the Buddhists in that country, they eat meat.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a degradation of Krishna consciousness that happens in Kali Yuga, of the original Krishna consciousness. That was in Thailand, which is a country of Theravada Buddhists. Yes?
You know, she had a couple of stories of buddies who chanted one machine, they called out one machine as a very dangerous situation. And we understand there's also some stories of the buddies being very brutally beaten up or even being shot dead, killed. How do we understand that they were protected and that it seemed like they were very...
Well, his question was how, if devotees were killed or murdered or something like that, which has happened, how do we understand that that's protection? Well, one of the ways we understand it is that killing the body doesn't mean being killed, because the soul is eternal. So one may die at the age of 2 days or 100 years, but it really doesn't matter. And in Lord Chaitanya's time, people would, if they committed offenses, like Raghunath Goswami said he was once going to jump and commit suicide, and Sanatana Goswami was on the verge of committing suicide and was prevented doing so. So at that time, in those times, people were much more detached from the material bodies. They were ready to give them up at any reason. And one who is a surrendered soul to Krishna is willing to give up the body pretty much any time. But at the same time, Krishna doesn't recommend suicide. He actually said to Sanatana Goswami, and it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that it's actually not your body, it's Krishna's body or my body, Lord Chaitanya said, so you can't take it away before it's time. And I think it's in Christian theology that suicides people end up being ghosts if they commit suicide. And I think that's a Vedic aphorism too, that people who commit suicide become ghosts. They have subtle bodies but no material bodies, no gross bodies. So I think we'll end here. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Maybe I could be making a gesture because it would be more natural. Okay. This is one that Papa used to say. You used to raise one finger. That can look posed.
Maybe one smiling a little bit.
Happy, natural, just so it doesn't look cheesy.
No, I'll pick them out so they don't look too.